2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. In for Jeff Kaplan this afternoon, I'm Tim Hughes, and our top story this hour. Reaction is continuing today after allegations of sexual harassment were made on social media against a Utah state senator.
The allegations against Senator Gene Davis were made in a post on Instagram from a woman who says she worked as an intern and for the Davis campaign. She alleges that he would put his arms around her waist, played with her toes, and often invaded her personal boundaries. Response was swift this morning from the Senate and from within his own party. Salt Lake County Democratic Party Chairwoman Ava Lopez says she has temporarily suspended him from all party activity.
It's very emotional for me because I too have been an intern, not at the state legislature, but interning on campaigns, doing different work, and this is all common abuse that happens, unfortunately.
Fellow Democrat House Minority Leader Representative Brian King says he can't speak on the specifics of this case, but
I do join with my colleagues in the Senate in saying, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's do what we can to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again.
The Senate president also released a statement today saying there would be an independent investigation into the allegations. Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
We have made a request to Senator Davis for a comment, but have yet to hear back. A former Cottonwood Heights councilwoman has reportedly filed a lawsuit against the city and officers in the police department. KSL.com reports that Tally Bruce has accused the city and police of conspiring to shut down a protest in 2020 following the death of Zane James, who was killed by police. A city spokesperson says the city denies any wrongdoing. Our top national story this hour, recession fears are easing a bit today after the latest jobs report. President Biden appeared to take a victory lap after the Labor Department's July jobs report showed the country gained more than double the expected amount of jobs over the last 31 days, signaling a still growing labor market. During today's remarks outside the White House, the president repeated the morning's positive numbers.
528,000 jobs were added just last month to this country's employment. 528,000 jobs.
The president says there are more people working in America today compared to before the pandemic. The Inflation Reduction Act will head to the Senate floor tomorrow for a vote. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, the lone moderate holdout for the party, vowed yesterday that she would move forward with the bill, giving Democrats the 50 votes needed to pass. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham criticized Sinema and fellow moderate Democrat Joe Manchin, saying that they'll have to answer to their voters when the time comes.
As much as I admire Joe Manchin and Sinema for standing up to the radical left at times, they're empowering legislation that will make the average person's life more difficult at a time they can't afford higher gas taxes.
Chuck Schumer fired back at Republican criticism that this bill will do nothing to fix inflation that could instead raise prices for everyday purchases. Republicans have officially chosen Milwaukee, Wisconsin to host their 2024 national convention. Milwaukee's Democratic mayor, Cavalier Johnson, praised the move.
I'm so pleased to share in a moment of bipartisanship because not just in Wisconsin, but in America, we need more of that.
Salt Lake City was one of the finalists to host the event, but Republicans went with the swing state instead. The president of the Navajo Nation has been injured when a large SUV barreled through a Native American parade in western New Mexico last night. President Jonathan Nez was one of the 15 people hit. Police have detained the driver and say he consumed alcohol before driving through the parade lined with thousands of people. Luckily, no one was killed, but several people had moderate injuries. Nez and other Navajo Nation leaders have declared Sunday a day of prayer. Low water levels at the Utah Lake are being blamed for restricted secondary water access in Daybreak, but is it really that bad? KSL News Radio's Martha Harris begins our team coverage, the Utah drought.
Secondary water is unfiltered water used for landscaping and gardening. Casey Shaw is a deputy general manager at the Central Utah Water Conservancy District. He says the state engineer restricts the water that flows out of Utah Lake based on guidelines set by the Utah Lake Management Plan.
They have levels that say if the water gets down this low, you have to restrict flows. If it gets any lower, you have to cut other water users. So they're trying to maintain the health of Utah Lake, according to a management plan that's been in place for many years.
The state engineer and the regional engineer over Utah Lake were both not available for comment. Martha Harris, KSL News Radio.
At least seven of Utah's reservoirs are currently under 20% capacity, including one, Gunnison, that's completely empty. But we're actually in better shape than we were at the beginning of August a year ago. Our team coverage continues now with KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce.
Taken as a whole, Utah's reservoir storage is currently sitting at about 45%, up from 37% last August. It's important to note we're also looking right now when our levels would historically be at their lowest, but it also means we need our winter snow to come as expected, and it would be nice if it was also more generous than normal.
Most of the reservoirs in northern Utah are at or above 60% capacity. Bear Lake is once again celebrating its annual Raspberry Days. The festival kicked off yesterday with a parade. The fair will continue through tomorrow night. There's going to be live music, a pie-eating contest, and, of course, Bear Lake's famous raspberry shakes.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.